I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. It's a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast, Toy Story 4, one of the best movies of the year so far and going to be one of the biggest at the box office. And joining me is the head of story, Valerie LaPointe. Valerie, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I saw it last week at a packed screening in New York City. Everybody loved it, kids, adults, people were in tears. This film has so much to say, and I think when it was announced, people were surprised considering the impact of Toy Story 3. What was your initial reaction to the news that Pixar was going to do Toy Story 4?
Yeah, so I think, you know, if I'm going to be completely honest, I think me and a lot of other people at Pixar had a similar reaction. We all really loved, you know, being part of previous films or being here when they happened and felt like a lot of closure at Toy Story 3. But for me, yeah, I was kind of like, well, okay, well, what's the story? And then right away when I was pitched, I think by Josh, what the story was going to be, and that Bo Peep was the pivotal character, then I kind of, like, you know, then I perked up and thought, okay, yeah, I could see this being a really good reason to make this.
Yeah, it's been 20 years since Toy Story 2, which was the last time that we saw Bo Peep, and she's definitely got a bit more of an edge in this one. Was it challenging to kind of take who she was before and give it a little bit of a spin, give her a spin, while still staying true to the character?
Right. Well, I think it was a challenge in the sense that you're taking, like, a, you know, secondary, if not tertiary, you know, sub-character in this film, in this world, and making her a main character. So we definitely had to add, like, a lot of dimension to her, a lot of interest, a backstory. And there was a big challenge in that, but it was a lot of fun. And we had to kind of take what we knew of her character. You know, we knew she was flirty, that she was confident, but that she actually was a pretty pivotal character to Woody, if you think about it. I mean, she's the one he confides in, that is his the voice of reason for him. So she was pretty pivotal to him, even in a small way. And from there, we expanded out as far as where we wanted to take Woody in the film and how Bo would be a catalyst for that.
Yeah, and where you take Woody is awe-inspiring. Some scenes are stunning, they're amazing, and they're really deep. I mean, you know, I'm not going to spoil things here, but this is largely a psychological drama for Woody. Did you and the other writers on the team talk with psychologists, mental illness specialists to really get the emotions?
Well, I think naturally what happens is you pull from your own life stories. And, you know, it was an interesting combination of multi-generations here, really. I mean, there's the people who started the first Toy Story movies, and then there's sort of a middle generation. I came in that group sort of around 2006, and now we have a new generation at Pixar. And I felt like it was this amazing combination of all those voices and perspectives and life experience that kind of informed where we believed he would be at and what would be the next chapter in his life.
And listening to Tom Hanks' voice performance this time as Woody, I think he's got the most grit to the character out of the four movies. In working with Mr. Hanks, was he really surprised in how deep things were going to get for Woody?
Yeah, I think, you know, the story evolved over time, so he saw it evolve as well. I think each time we brought the film back to him to record again, you know, we'd made slight tweaks and big changes, and he was really, really impressed with where we were taking it at the ending especially. But we were definitely trying to, you know, go back and get the fun and the charm of Woody. You know, he's obviously not Woody in Toy Story 1. He's a more evolved Woody, but those core pieces of his personality are true and there, and pulling that out of his performance.
Yeah, I know that Toy Story 4 has been in the works for a long time. You know, there were stories that came out that Pixar had to move up Cars 3 and Incredibles 2 in order to make more time to fully develop Toy Story 4. At what point was the script that we see play out in this movie? I know it evolved a little bit, but the general basis of it, when was it officially locked in?
I think, you know, we went through many, many versions on this film. I think we put we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to live up to our own expectations. Really have a really good reason for making it. And I believe it was like maybe right before Josh came on as director, as we were sort of finding that, and Andrew was a big part of that, and understand. And we sort of started locking in on these bigger, different ideas about what was going to happen to Woody, how he was going to change, and also about Bo Peep. I mean, the idea of her becoming a lost toy, which I don't think I'm giving anything away. That's in the trailer.
Yeah.
And sort of redefining that, because it's always presented as this terrible thing that can happen to a toy through Woody. And we were looking at it from a different angle, thinking, what if that's not a bad thing? So I think that was a big step also in expanding the universe and the world of Toy Story.
And as the story supervisor, you know, you're looking at all this, trying to balance everything out. There's a lot of fun elements for kids, but a lot for the adults as well. But when it comes to the emotions of it, do you ever look everything over and go, wait a second, maybe this is too much? Maybe we're going too far?
Yeah, that was definitely something we had to constantly consider and debate about, to be honest, like friendly debate with our story team and the director and the writer. I mean, we all feel very passionately about these characters in this world, and we went back and forth a lot about how far we could take it or how much was believable knowing these characters so well, especially Woody. So it was a challenge in finding that right balance, also of, you know, coming to that decision, how do we tell that story, right? Because like, just putting the pieces together in the right order so that it feels right.
I saw Tom Hanks on Kimmel the other night, and he brought out these couple pieces of paper about things he couldn't say and things he could talk about when it comes to Toy Story 4. I mean, how have you honestly been over the last several years, you know, keeping this all in, and then in just a matter of days, it's going to be unleashed upon the world?
Yeah, I think it's been strange for me, for our story team, because it's such a... It's been so personal to us for so long. I mean, I've literally worked on this film for 5 years. I had my first daughter was a baby when I started making it. Now she just finished kindergarten.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's been this long haul. And we, like I said, we care so much about it. Like every tiny little detail and decision. But there's been a lot of excitement and energy. And I'm just blown away, actually, how well it's being received and how everyone loves it. It's great. It's like a really great kind of graduation, in a way. Like 5 years of your life.
Yeah, you guys really pull it off. We're with Valerie LaPointe, the head of story on Toy Story 4. Your daughter's in kindergarten, you said, so does she understand the Toy Story movies? Has she seen them? Does she really get what's going on?
Yeah, it's been funny to go through this and see her experience it at the young age when she's just having fun watching it but doesn't actually retain or remember too much of it. And then now she is at the age where she's taking it in more. And she just saw it yesterday, and it was pretty exciting. She had her Bo Peep costume on, and she was changing her outfit to match Bo Peep's every time her cape changed or her skirt. And so I thought to myself, I was like, all right, mission accomplished. Like, this is what I wanted to have happen with Bo Peep, just have everyone, especially young girls, like, relate to her and connect with her on that level.
Yeah, and we're certainly not going to spoil things here, but did she take the ending well? Did she take the ending of it how you hope that audiences do?
Yeah, well, I think fortunately for me, with her, she's so young, she has, you know, the gripping emotional quality of the trilogy combined, she isn't totally, completely honed on yet, so I didn't have bawling tears, but I am curious to see how, teenagers and adults are going to be taking this in.
Yeah, the words I wrote in my review of it were painfully satisfying.
Oh, wow.
That's what I think people are going to feel, but in a good, you know, in a positive way, but that's how I felt. That's honestly how I felt. But
way to describe, I think, what a story team aims for.
You've got a lot of new characters. I think one of the other risks you guys had was putting a lot of new characters front and center, especially Key and Peele's Ducky and Bunny. They're great, and they're obviously, Key and Peele, you know, a bit more over the top in nature when it comes to their comedy style, but I think they, when you see their scenes, they really fit well into this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, we developed so many great characters that it was a challenge to find enough screen time to give them all, because, you know, at some point, you know, you want to favor your main characters and your main story, of course, but then as soon as they came in, especially when we start seeing them animated, I mean, Ducky and Bunny and Forky, as soon as they were animated, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, you just want to keep watching them, they're so hilarious, and there was this, literally, it's that magic that happens when animation brings it to life, but, yeah, you just want more of them. There's just, you know, there's only so much screen time, but I feel like we managed to get them in there.
And hey, you know, using them for the Super Bowl spot was a very smart move as well. And going in, I thought maybe Duke Kaboom was going to be similar in tone to how Ken was in Toy Story 3, but he's actually more restrained. How was that character shaped, and what made the movie star of the moment, Keanu Reeves, perfect for Duke Kaboom?
Well, yeah, it was funny. I think, well, we all love Keanu Reeves, so at some point, you know, his name got thrown out there just in our laughing and goofing around, and then when it stuck, we were like, what, really? Really, we're going to get him? And then, of course, being from Canada was a great element that sort of arose from the story art room. Like, wouldn't it be funny if he was from Canada? And but he was like, it was interesting because I think there was maybe a read you envision, you know, with Scratch or as you're building the character. And he definitely brought something to it, like his own self brought, you know, brought to the character, took it in a slightly different direction, like, yeah, a little more reserved, but really funny.
Mm.
And, yeah, it made him something, someone really unique.
Yeah, definitely unique, and I think audiences really responding to him because, if you know, John Wick out right now, this, the Netflix movie he did, he is out there for sure. If I'm not mistaken, Valerie, you were a teenager when the first Toy Story came out?
Yeah, I was a freshman or just starting high school.
Wow. Do you remember going to see it in the theater?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, it was, well, I knew when I was 8 that I wanted to work in animation. I saw The Little Mermaid and kind of became obsessed at that point, drawing, performing, everything I could do. And I remember when Toy Story came out because it was so good and so different with the storytelling and the humor that I started shifting gears. And my dad saying to me, like, you're going to have to learn computers. And I thought, oh, no. And all this time, I've been drawing and thinking it was going to be drawing. But of course, you know, as I got older, I figured out, oh, story is what I want to do. And that is still drawing, and it's developing characters. And I love what everybody does on the computers, but it's not necessarily my talent. But, yeah, and so Toy Story kind of, you know, for me, like a lot of people at Pixar now, like, you know, zeroed in on Pixar. Like, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that storytelling.
Wow. And, what you know, after working now on Toy Story 4, one of the biggest movies your studio has ever produced, you know, what do you think you'd say to teenage Valerie about your future in animation and with these characters?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I would just be, you know, you're not going to believe this, but it's all going to happen. I don't really know any other way to describe it. It really is, when I step back and look at what I've been doing, what I'm able to do right now, it's amazing. It's like having a dream come true, for sure.
I think this movie is about finding your purpose, maybe more than the other Toy Stories. I bet it even more so here. It's about finding your purpose, and you clearly found your purpose at a young age and pursued it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Valerie LaPointe, congrats on Toy Story 4. Everybody at the studio, it's fantastic, and I think you're going to do really well this coming weekend. Congrats, and thanks so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Go see Toy Story 4. Bring the family. Kick off summer. It's in theaters this weekend. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast.